And welcome to episode 5 of the Faith Infusion Podcast. I'm your host, Minister Demetria Lee, and I'm so very happy that you've joined me. Today, our conversation will be disappointment. It hurts, but I'm growing. It's time to dig into today's conversation. Are you ready? Let's go. Disappointment is like a tornado that suddenly rose in on a sunny day, catching us off guard and shaking us to our very foundation. But guess what? God's word has something to say about it. You know, I've been right where you are, standing at life's intersection, facing disappointments, and searching for answers from God and His word, asking God, where are you? Have you forgotten about me? Where are you? And in those times, I found that the Bible isn't just a book. It's a roadmap. It's our roadmap to guide us through life's twists and turns. So let's talk about disappointment from a biblical perspective. Last week, we talked about trusting in God. So let's revisit that a little bit, okay? We must learn to cope with our trials and tribulations, find the spiritual guidance we so desperately need. I was thinking about the other day how when we raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and then they go out and they behave in ways that can break your heart, how sometimes on our jobs and in our finances, our health, how people treat us and relationships all have the power to disappoint us. And as believers, I was wondering how we should handle those hurts. I mean, hurts that hurt our heart and make our souls so weary and tired. Well, we have to access our expectations or evaluate our expectations. And if you're honest with yourself, you will often be disappointed because you've set unrealistic expectations. Did you assume that you would do everything perfectly the first time? Or did you expect the person or people to meet all of your emotional needs? Is that possible? Do you expect your children never to disobey you or act immature or childish or fail to behave in the way you raised them? And finally, did you naively assume that just because you were a Christian living the Christian life that you would be free from hardship and pain? Think about that. Well, Demetria can truly say that my answer to all of these questions would be yes. At some point in my life, the answer was yes to all of those questions. Our dual residency in this world and the next causes us to long for perfection of heaven while we're struggling through this sin-stained world. Perfection. We are not perfect, but we're struggling to have perfection. That's contradictory in itself. Jesus was clear to his disciples, and his words are meant for us also. John, the 16th chapter and the 33rd verse says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world, you have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. So loving God doesn't shield us from trials in some ways or in some cases, it actually attracts more trials and tribulations. And we know that we're created for more, better, and perfect
but not yet, not while here. The Apostle Paul describes our spiritual tug of war like this. He said in Philippians, the first chapter and the 23rd through the 24th verse, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless," I love that word, "nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." So God's word and the Holy Spirit can help us evaluate whether our hopes or wants are unrealistic or naive. So I invite you today to ask God to help you search your heart. Accept what He reveals to you, and then ask God to give you the desires He wants for you, or He has for you, not what you want, but what He wants you to have. And to do this, you must bring your disappointments to Him. During some of the most darkest and depressive times in my life, I have been disappointed so many times. I've been disappointed in myself. I've been disappointed in others. And I've even been disappointed in God. And when I was in that state, I was so off-kiltered, I found it so hard to go to God in prayer. Instead of running toward God, I was running away from God. We must run toward Him, not away. I know you're going through, I know it hurts, I know it's hard, but remember to run toward God. Because when you bring your disappointments to Him, you position yourself to receive His comfort. And in that moment, you need comfort from Him. Sharing that hurt in prayer and searching God's word for a response, it opens your communication with Him. And He is the one that knows you better. He knows your heart better than anybody else. So why are you running away from Him? Run toward Him. Confide in Him. Share with Him. Pray to Him. Search the word. David models this throughout the entirety of Psalm. And in Psalms, the 42nd chapter, he beautifully instructs us on how to speak truth to our souls, even from the pits of despair and discouragement that we may be in at the time. Learn to take comfort in God's promises. You have to remember what He said. I know you're hurting, and I know you are not functioning properly in those moments, but you have to remember what He promised you, because God will never leave you, and He will never forsake you. He'll be your advocate. He's your refuge in the time of storm, and He is your strong tower. He will comfort and silence your mind. He will surround you with His love, and every tear, He'll wipe every tear away. Let Him comfort you and remember what He promised you. You have to surrender those desires and trust Him, just as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed what I call the prayer of sacrifice, because it was a sacrifice. He said, after he begged God to allow the cup of suffering to pass from him, he chose to trust God and surrender His will to His Father. He knew that God allows what He hates sometimes to achieve what He loves. For us, we should go to Him in prayer just as Jesus did. And if we go to Him, we can, let me think of a prayer that would coincide with what Jesus said. Father, you know what I expect to happen in my situation. and I assumed that my desires was honoring you, but it wasn't. And it wasn't your will, Lord. So I acknowledge that your ways are higher than mine, and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I know you will use the most unlikely means to accomplish the most beautiful end to help me to trust you the more. Because you know that it is for me, my good and your glory. So help me to trust you the more, God, because it's for my good. See, Jesus will wipe the disappointment and tears from your eyes, and he can show you how in this momentary light suffering, in this momentary situation. I know it feels like it's forever, but it's momentary. It's a small amount of time. It's a light suffering. For us, an absolute, he will do an absolutely incomparable, eternal weight of glory. He's going to get the glory out of your situation. I lost my car because I lost my job. It's embarrassing. It's hard. Now you got to try to figure out how you get from here to there. But guess what? God has a ram in the bush. He's going to bless you with another car. God says, go to the car lot and get another car. And you're saying, well, they just repo this one, Lord. How am I going to get, trust him? How are they going to give me another car and they just got this one? I know that's showing up on my credit report. But God's going to get the glory out of that situation when you go to that car lot and drive off in a new car. It was momentary. It was just a small minute. Even though it felt like you were in the depths of despair. And the good thing about it, God ain't even going to allow anybody else to even know what happened. He's not going to cause you or bring you to shame. Nobody is even going to know what happened. But for now, disappointment will be a part of our human existence. It's always going to be a part of our lives while we're here. So when we encounter it, it's okay to cry. It's okay to scream, yell. It's okay. Because with God's help, we can prayerfully examine our expectations and take comfort in God's promises. It's his promises, y'all. It's what he told you. I know it don't look like it. I know it don't feel like it. It don't seem like it. But if he promised it, he's going to do it. So take comfort in God's promises. Bring our desires to him and surrender to his will. Give it to him. Don't pick it back up. Give it to him. And wait on the promise to be fulfilled. Because in our own strength, it is impossible for us to do it. We need God's help. We cannot do it alone. And think about it. Each new disappointment brings another opportunity to trust in God and for him to get the glory. When you trust in him, he comforts your heart and he grows your faith. Two in one. You're getting two things for one. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that not beautiful? So sometimes life's disappointments are actually positive developments of God's plan. I know we think that disappointment is vicious and unbearable. It's the enemy. And yeah, it can cause you to be so emotionally disturbed and depressed that you will be unable to think effectively. And as a result, you cut off your creative forces that are ready to help you. And it can strike you. Disappointment can strike you at almost any time. So it's important that you learn to deal with it. We have to deal with it. First and foremost, don't let the disappointment shake your belief system. Don't let disappointment shake your belief in the goodness of God and his promises. Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 35th verse says, "Do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward." Yes, you're going to go through, but there's a reward at the end. You're going to go through. That's inevitable. It's going to happen. So when disappointment strikes, you have to hold your faith, hold tight to your faith. Say, "I am confident. I'm hurting, but I'm still confident, and I believe and I trust in God." Maintaining this confidence in God and in yourself, you have to believe in yourself. You got to believe in what He put in you. You got to know who you are in Him. I know the situation affected the way you were thinking, but remember who you are in Him. It doesn't matter what somebody else say. You know who you are. You know what He put in you. You know what He said to you. Be who you are in Him. Remember. And be confident in God and in yourself. Because the first thing the devil is going to try to do is attack your mind. That's your strength. He's going to try to attack your mind. Because if he figure he got that, he can get the rest of you easily. But know who you are in Christ. And it, no devil in hell can stop you if you know who you are in Christ. So maintain this confidence in God and in yourself. And it requires mental and spiritual effort. Guard your mind. Pray for your strength in your mind. But it is your road to better things when you do that. When you're confident in God and in yourself, guarding your mind and using your mind and your spiritual effort, it is your road to better things. And thank God every day. There's always a reason to do so. There's always something to thank God for. You woke up this morning. Thank you, Lord. You can go in your closet and choose an outfit. Thank you, Lord. You can go in your kitchen and cook your breakfast. Thank you, Lord. I might not have a full tank of gas, but I got gas in my car. Thank you, Lord. I can get to work. I got a job. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 103rd chapter in the second verse says, "Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of His benefits." Don't forget anything He's done for you. Start thanking the Lord for all the blessings that He's already given you. I mean, things in the past that He's given you. Thank you for it. Thank Him for it. Do that instead of mentally and vocally dwelling on the things that He didn't give you or He denied. "Lord, I wanted a BMW, but I got a Nissan Sentra. Thank you. I got something. Lord, I wanted these Nikes, but I got a pair of Adidas. Thank you. I may not have gotten what I wanted, but He gave me what was best for me. I might not have gotten the car I wanted, but I can still get to work in the car He gave me. Thank you. I can feed my family. Thank you. Because I have a job to go to. Thank you." So start thanking the Lord for all the blessings that He has already given you. And don't dwell on what you didn't get. If you start doing that, you will be amazed how much better your life will look to yourself when you saturate it with all those thanks to God. Just saturate Him with love and thank yous. And watch the turnaround. Watch the turnaround in your life. God wants you to be happy where you are with what He gave you. Be content with what you have. Don't want what somebody else have. Be content with what you have. The word contentment comes from the two Latin words con and tenor, and it means to hold together. And when you have faith in God, your mind will hold together. so effectively that you can recover from any disappointment. So contentment means to hold together. Come on. And when you hold it together, you can recover from any disappointment. If you always remember that God is on your side, He is always with you and He's on your side, you can be content with whatever comes your way, whatever it is. And out of that contentment, great things will begin to happen for you. But you must be content. Don't want what your neighbor have. Be content in what God has given you. Because when you don't understand why things are happening the way they're happening, cling to His promises. When you're not content and you're complaining and you don't know why the things are happening, well, that's the reason why they're happening, because you're not content, but you don't understand why things are happening the way they're happening. Stop. Reset yourself and remember His promises and cling to His promises. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 28th verse says, "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His plan and purpose. When you are disappointed, examine yourself to ensure you think and live in harmony with God's purpose, not yours, God's purpose. It could be that you have wandered off your godly path. Instead of dwelling upon the word disappointment or what He's denied you, think of it as God's appointment. Instead of disappointment, it's God's appointment. What you regard as a disappointment may actually be a wonderful new plan that God has for your life. And you're too busy complaining and being stuck in disappointment that you may possibly miss that plan or that opportunity or that season that God has for you. So just remember, even if you encounter disappointing situations, missed opportunities, broken relationships, painful losses, any of that, while you can't avoid disappointment during our time here in your earthly existence, you can rely, you can trust on God to help you through whatever it is, whatever it is, whatever it is, because you know He only wants us to be happy. He only wants us to be content and happy. And when you become content and happy, great things will begin to happen for you. But cling to His word and His promises and hold tight to your faith. And trust, above all, trust in God to do what He says. He is not a man and He won't lie. If He said it, He's going to do it. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our conversation today, and I pray that you've received something to take with you to help you through this coming week. Please join us next week for another edifying episode of the Faith Infusion Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Minister Demetria Lee. And until next time, be blessed. And keep on praying. For more information about us, please contact us at DemetriaLee40@gmail.com. Remember to please like, share, and subscribe to our podcast on all social media platforms. Be blessed.